the simplest commercial baking resource, brought to you by Bakerpedia and hosted by Mark Florca. With 45 years of industry experience, Mark knows the ins and outs of baking. He is Bakerpedia's community forum manager and baking instructor. He's here to share knowledge and help you grow connections. You're listening to the Baked In Science Podcast.
Hello, bakers. This episode is very special in a variety of ways, not the least of which is the opportunity given to me to have a conversation with a chef, pastry chef, and baker I have admired for many, many years. Co-founder of the French Pastry School in Chicago, Chef Sebastian Canon never shies away from climbing another peak, another challenge, another success. Here we talk about transitioning to R&D and the science in baking in making better for you products. Hi, Chef, how are you today?
How are you, Mark?
Are you getting all ready for Thanksgiving?
Yes, no, my wife is.
Well, that's nice to have somebody you can defer some cooking to.
Yes, you know, we've been together for over 20 years and she's trained to not worry about me until the last minute. I'm still in the kitchen world, you know.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for coming on so we can talk about equi today. But before I get to that, wanted to kind of inform everyone first who may not already be aware of yourself and the French Pastry School. If you can tell us a little bit about you, Sebastian Canon, MOF, and what that MOF means, as it is very prestigious. And French Pastry School is now over 25 years that you and Jackie have founded this.
Yes, 25 years young, we like to say, right? thanks for having us this morning, and delighted to talk about equi and this fascinating project that I'm involved with. And little background with the introduction of the school. Yes, the school is over 20 years now young, like we like to say. Everything shifted to online education in 2020, simply because we didn't have the brick and mortar school anymore, but also because the industry was truly looking into a different kind of education. The model has changed, and what at some point, I would say 5+ years ago, was used as a supplemental type of training is now becoming the number one training tool.
Yep.
For the industry, you know, either cross-training, continuing education, and also an important part of what apprenticeship programs are today. Everybody shifted to some kind of online education. But what I was saying earlier is, you know, I always love to talk about education because people ask me all the time, how did you manage to always be involved in research and development and and education? Mm-hmm. You know, to most people that sounds like two different verticals, but they actually they intertwine. You know, I like to say that I wouldn't be involved in a project like equi, which we're going to talk about, without first have followed a classic, you know, for culinarians, a classic, not just apprenticeship model, but also a journeyman that came along with it, and working for the best that I could think of in different countries with different types of expertise. That's what led me to work with global leaders and visionaries. That's what also led me to be involved in projects that chefs would or could not think of at the beginning of their career or even during their career, because we have such a conventional way to be trained and the learn and apply mantra that it's hard to think outside the box. But it's that education, that constant thirst and will to learn. When you get it, when you realize that the more you learn, the less you know, it becomes a craving.
Yep.
And I think what's important is to surround yourself constantly with this type of people, this type of thought process. And it's not easy. It's easier in the hands-on world, either that you're in the kitchen as a scientist in a lab. It's not as easy when it comes to visionary, to leadership, and to build the right team so that you could take these dreams and idea that you have to life. So
absolutely, yeah.
That's what Mark brought me, education, to meet, I would say, incredible mentors. And in my world of craftsmanship, to work with scientists at some point, simply because research and development is science. I mean,
yes.
In pastry, it's a little different than culinary. It is already more of a science world. Once it's in the oven, you can only pray that it comes out the right way. So it has to be about having the right ingredients, the right steps, the right skills. You can't fix it, like we do in savory food. So,
yeah. This episode is brought to you by Brabender, a brand of Anton Parr. Since 1923, Brabender has been a leading manufacturer of instruments for testing material quality and physical characteristics in all fields of research and development and production in the baking industry worldwide. Brabender is now operating as Anton Parr. To learn more, visit www.anton-parr.com.
I was involved with over the last, I would say, at least 10 years with pretty cool project. Most of them were leading to better kind of food, healthier food, and inevitably more plant-based, more nutritious and more sustainable kind of project and mission.
Mm-hmm.
So along the way, and working on so many different projects, I kind of built that love for deep science. I think we could also call it food tech, but for culinarians, let's say science, because science is food tech at some point, but sometimes they get scared by the word food tech. But
yeah, they're using I noticed in industry they're using a sort of new terminology, and they're referring to it as creative design.
I would have never guessed that one.
yeah.
Well, I don't know if I agree with that, because actually, I don't think it is. Yes, it's new, but I wouldn't say that it's creative. It's
mm-hmm.
It's truly built by understanding and knowledge and science. So
yes, and it's much more science and innovation.
It's nothing but But through this project, I started, you know, giant steps for maybe chefs that, you know, are afraid or don't like science. But I would say baby steps in the world of science, you know, of understanding much more than just taste. My job's always been to make the tastiest kind of product, you know, appealing. And over the years, I learned a lot more about the nutritious aspect of it. And working with scientists of that levels and you know, renowned doctors in the different fields of science, I really got interested and drawn into the protein world, and how protein really doesn't have great nutritional value unless they're animal protein. So in the world we're living today, trying to, you know, make better product, much more sustainable type of food system, we are learning that all of this protein thrown at us, you know, in bars or beverages, and they're not nutritious, because they just like I like to say, you know, many moons ago, we learned about good fat and bad fat. We learned that fat was actually good for us, which is good. You know, at some point it was not good, then we realized it's good, but it has to be the right kind of fat.
Correct.
And
yes,
it has to be the right amount. Well, then we moved down to the carbs, and everybody was about carbs, you know, zero carb and so on, and extreme diets. And then we learned that, again, we need carbs, but again, we need good ones, and we need the right amount. So long story short, saturated and unsaturated, we now know how to differentiate those kinds of fat, complex and simple carbs. And now we are learning about protein, and that's what I've been doing for a number of years now, because there's so many proteins, you know, from grain, from fungi, obviously all the animal protein, egg, dairy products, and kind of meat. So people are now learning the most important thing, that in protein, proteins are made of amino acids, and they don't need to learn them all, those names and what kind they are, but they now are getting well-versed with the 9 essential amino acids. So
exactly. I'm glad you mentioned that, because that is one of the key things that I hear, you know, you and the CEO, Monica, mentioning so much, which is really good, clear communication to the consumer, in that it's the 9 essential amino acids. This is the most important part. Too long in the industry, we have been referring to the methods of analysis, so to speak, or the way it's written in the Food and Drug Regulations, the so-called PDCAS, the Protein Digestibility Corrected Amino Acid Score. And that means nothing to the consumer, because they're not researching proteins. They're researching, I want to put it in my belly and be healthy, right? And that is really key that you guys have zeroed in on that. That is really, really important.
Thank you. Well, I like that you mentioned that. I wasn't going to go that deep, but you actually brought it up in a simpler way. The PDCAS, people shouldn't be scared of it, and they should really truly be educated about it, because it's simply the test that tells you how worth it that protein is for you, how nutritious it is. And simple way to bring it up, it's that, you know, it's on a 0 to 1 score, one being, you know, fully digestible, the best one for you, To give you an example, meat, beef would be 0.92. So
yep,
a 92% score there. And when it comes to protein and replacing or reducing, you don't have to replace it. I myself, I love meat and animal protein, but like most people, you know, I'm on a flexitarian mission where I try to also don't eat meat every day.
Yeast force, dough volume, gas retention, and total gas volume in only one measurement. Yeast force is for determination of raising power, dough volume, gas retention, and total gas volume in the dough piece or sugar solutions as CO2 pressure measurements. Yeast force can determine the gas holding capacity in dough or proofing dough samples with yeast, baking soda, or sourdough as CO2 gas concentration kinetics. Visit www.bluesense.com for more information.
Or cut on, you know, all the cheese that I love to eat, and butter and milk and cream. If you add them all together, I would need to be exercising every day. Don't have that same lifestyle that I had, 20 or 30 years ago. So when you come to plant-based and you need protein for your diet, it's important to make sure that the replacement of this animal protein are as nutritious as the meat protein. And
yep.
And that's the 9 essential amino acids that your body needs to maintain healthy weight and support muscle mass and organs and tissues. And we can only get that from food. Our body cannot synthesize it. So that's something we need to get from food. And when you look at protein, especially in the world of baking, flour obviously is what we use a lot in pastry and baking application. You know, even the best flour might have 12-13% for bread flour of gluten content or protein content, which is poor if you compare to a 0.92 for beef. But most importantly, that protein does not have the 9 essential amino acids.
Yes.
So it's not only low, it's of poor nutritional value. And what does that give you? Well, it just gives you product loaded with carbs when you bring all this flour, for instance, and little protein and incomplete protein. So when I got in, when I got involved with Equi, what really fascinated me about this project was that fermented yeast protein that the two doctors had come up with, where we end up having a yeast protein that has the 9 essential amino acid. But not only that, through the fermentation process, and you know, everybody understands the beauty of fermented food. There's nowadays enough product and history about fermented food that shows you and demonstrate the benefits of fermented food. Through that fermentation process, the microorganism used are feeding on starch, because our technology is repurposing starch in grain, so a byproduct of grain. And through that fermentation process, the microorganisms feed on the starch, which means it also depletes the carb amount. So we end up with not only a complete protein, but a protein that delivers about 40% less carb when we bake bread. So this is,
wow,
in essence, the best of both worlds. You turn a poor protein into a nutritious one, and you lower the carbs, everything a baker would hope for in terms of baking. But it has to be functional, and that's where I think this technology is a game changer. Is we bake bread that, you know, has the texture and taste of bread. It actually has a unique blank canvas for bakers, but I would say it feels like healthier bread. You know, when you eat that bread, it's nothing like white bread or direct method mixing or the Wonder Bread of the world. It's truly a bread that feels nutritious. I mean, 10 grams of complete protein per slice gives you that satiety. You know, if you have two slices of that bread, you have 20 grams of complete protein, either simply toasted in the morning, which is what I do, and I still put some butter on it. I don't have to be again.
Well, you know, yes, Europeans, we got to have our butter, right?
Yeah. Butter is better, but it feels good. You know, 20 grams keep me full until lunchtime. And that really makes you understand, again, the nutrition side of protein when you just consume two slices like that, and you don't get, you know, you don't feel the need to munch on anything.
Yes, and I've had the opportunity to sample this as well, and it is incredible. I mean, you know, first of all, a lot of times, as you said, the thing about just adding, you know, protein to something is it doesn't necessarily provide a lot of pleasant flavors or texture experiences in most cases, especially when we think back to about 10, 15 years ago when all this started. It was, I mean, the protein bars and things that were out there, they were horrible, right? I mean, it's like, I mean, why would people eat this, right? And they weren't even that nutritious, as you pointed out. And this, the Equi is just, it is, you know, not only is it that it has a nice texture and you know, that it's healthy for you, but it tastes so good. It's got such a wonderful flavor profile, and that is what is really attractive about it. And we, you know, you've put this together and accomplished a lot of things, as you mentioned, about the texture. And I read in an article, which is kind of also what sparked me to want to talk with you guys, is you've expanded your bread line, and as you mentioned, the microbes, that, you know, it's not like the two doctors just sit down and did a Google search or something and said, oh, here is a microbe, let's use it, right? They actually have to identify the microbes that may or may not consume the protein, first of all, and rearrange it and consume the starch, as you were saying. And they studied 1,300 microbes. Now, studying means that they got to ferment with these and everything. And what's even more incredible, really, is that they have a library of 45 different microbes. And in research, in science, this is humongous. This is huge. You know, there must be still so many more fantastic things in the pipeline that you're excited to work with on these things yet. Yeah.
Yes, no, and it's really the reflection of you know, the co-founders and our team, you know, to deliver not just a nutritional and something sustainable, but something that is functional and something that tastes good. Our breads are clean label, non-GMO, low ingredient count because it's functional. There's no artificial flavors or preservatives or chemicals. And you know, every time you add one of this checked mark, it's harder, it's more expensive. So, you know, it's what I was saying earlier. The beauty, it's finding people that will align with you. People that, you know, even not just the team, the leadership, but even your investors, people who want to support your company, because you're not going to make money if you want to do all of this at the beginning. It's going to come with time when you scale up, but you want to do the right thing, you know. Yep. And I think we're truly pioneering the future of food here. Like, things have to be tasting good, they have to be healthier, and they have to be more sustainable. And if you stick to that, it's not easy, and you need to surround yourself again with the right people, but you will align with the kind of product Iqui has launched. And as you mentioned, it's just, you know, it's not the results of all three of us co-founders opening the doors of a lab and our kitchens and getting to work. It's a lifetime for each one of us of learning and knowledge and skill. And also, it's the vision that what seemed impossible can actually be done if you surround yourself with the right team. Because at the end, it's just taking the time, just like I did in education, to do what everybody else thinks going to take too long or be too expensive or has more chance not to work. But
this podcast is brought to you by Grain Millers, a leading manufacturer of organic and conventional whole grain ingredients focused on supplying safe and healthy ingredients that add value. Check out their gluten-free oats, fibers, wheat, barley, and rye ingredients at grainmillers.com.
You know, when people today buy food, they understood what we talked about earlier, Mark, like the importance of micronutrients. They know that they need a balanced amount and the right kind of carbs, protein, and fat, obviously vitamins, mineral in addition. So people are getting very educated about the micronutrients. And I think that protein, healthier type of food when it comes to innovation will definitely be what people are going to focus on now, and sustainability. But the kind of food that is truly nutritious for you, like no more empty calories, you know, I should say, like those bars you mentioned earlier, those snacking with protein and carbs and all those no fat and so forth, they were all made of empty calories, and people know that now. We make sure that we take you know, the empty calories out of everyday staple foods. And you know, the breads were the first one, but obviously think of protein. If you can give chefs and the industry a protein, plant-based, clean label, non-genetically modified, that has the same nutritional as animal protein or beef here on the PDCAS level, if you want an exact comparison, sky is the limit. You could take that protein and make all kinds of bread, not just the bread we launched for the ambient bread, but you can bake, you know, bagels and tortillas, and you can make product like pastas, and you could really hit all the different vertical and disrupt the food categories. And
oh yeah, there's so many things. I mean, you know, breakfast cereals, all kinds of things. I mean, even, you know, one of the popular things because of probiotics and stuff, of course, is yogurt. But people are also looking to yogurt for their protein sources. So it could be fortified with this.
Our newest SKU, we are going to release with the fiber. We've added fiber to our breads now. So we're going to also offer complete protein in addition with fiber.
Wow.
So our breads will deliver not only good source of protein, they will also deliver good source of fiber. So again, when the when your raw product, the stock product is what you need for a recipe, you know. Think of it like, people ask me, why did you join this project and why did you become so involved with this project? And at some point I said, it's like discovering the egg in pastry, you know, like suddenly we've baked with, fat and flour and some sugar. First ones were honey. And really the first kind of cake baked were more, I don't know if they were that good, you know, in texture, at least probably more of a break, a weapon rather than food. But it's like discovering egg, you know, all the different functionality that egg brought to pastry. Think of it as, you know, coagulation and foaming, emulsion, and just the egg yolks, just the egg white, the whole eggs, and it's raw, or it's tempered, or it's whipped, or it's creamed. I mean, this like changed. It was a game changer in the baking world, and I think that iqui as an ingredient is a game changer in anything you would use for protein. So that's pretty incredible, that discovery. That discovery and nutrition tied to it is it's truly a revolution in food tech.
Yeah, it is the you know, as they say, the incredible egg, and this is now the incredible iqui. And so the name iqui, I've read it comes from focusing on being equally nutritious and enjoyable, like nutritious and delicious, as we like to so often say. So that's quite incredible to be able to attach that name, that brand, to this product.
Everybody finds a different way to talk about the name and what's behind, but I think it was the perfect name. Personally, I think iqui is also the not just the balance between, you know, as you mentioned, delicious and nutritious, but I think iqui is also what food is about. You cannot eat too much of something and not enough of something, and have, you know, in the same taste profile, like too salty, sour, sweet, bitter, or spicy of something, or not enough of something, and in amount, not enough of something or too much of something. In, you know, if you think further than that, in leadership, one crazy one at the head of a company and others that says nothing, you know, it's in life in general, everything has to be in balance, and what we're bringing is that balance as a raw ingredient for everyone to make their own. We're not forcing anyone into a drastic net carb diet, or into a drastic no fat, or like zero animal protein, or so on, because everybody has to make their own. Everybody has a different lifestyle, a different need, live in different climate, have different nutrition needs. So iqui is teaching people with bread, for instance, one slice at a time, 10 grams, I need more, I don't feel full, I take another one, I'm fine. I had my animal protein, oh, I have enough, then maybe today I don't eat iqui. But in a sense, we're not forcing anyone to change what they do every day, but we're giving them that tool that wasn't there before, where they can have, when they can eat something that it's good for them, but that it's not a punishment for them to eat, like those, you know, bars you're talking about, or other products that are, you know, and obviously cheap because they're made of empty calorie. That's also That's also what people are truly getting educated with, as you know, we are a premium bread. Obviously, we can't, we'll never compare to Wonder Bread.
No, and you shouldn't be.
So, and that's what's really rewarding today. It's people are making, they understand the difference, you know, they're making the right choices.
Yeah, and as you said earlier, I mean, the improvements to accessibility and profitability in this is going to come with the volume as the brand continues to grow and other challenges are solved so that it brings the cost down. It's just like with most other things and technologies in our world. You know, solar energy is a great thing, but it's still expensive right now because we haven't solved the ability to produce the silicone absorbing light chips more cheaply, or less expensively, more efficiently. And so it's like that with producing this protein as well as producing the bread. It's there as the efficiencies improve, the costs will come down more, and it'll become much more widespread. And it's already doing fantastic. It's great. And for anybody who's interested, it's really quite simply just remember the name EQUII, EQUII, and it's EQUII.com. And you can order right there online. And you also have this in grocery stores now as well, don't you?
Yes. So we went a little bit the unconventional way again, because our product is chef crafted.
Mm-hmm.
We first, got a very good response. We won a couple awards, important awards, the Food and Beverage Innovation Award.
Excellent.
Last May at the National Restaurant Association, and a few months ago the Prepared Food Innovation Award. Actually, our co-CEO, Dr. Bhatia, is on her way to Germany to also present in front of a panel for another award. We've been selected in Frankfurt. I think it's Food Innovation Ingredient Award. So it's good also to see that it's crossing now.
Wow, fantastic.
On the other side of the world. And it's the recognition of truly not just the technology, but also, you know, what our mission is. Our mission is to establish a better food system, you know, something that is healthier, tastes good, number one for me, but healthier. And sustainable, and that's truly rewarding to see that recognition, because grain is the largest sustainable community right now on the planet that will have the fastest impact on how to feed the population.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
At that scale. So our mission is, our dream is to be able to get this kind of nutrition and make it affordable for everyone all over the world, you know, and our technology can apply to any kind of grain mark. So we're really right now we're just scratching the tip of the
yep.
iceberg. We've launched our bread, so it's a wheat byproduct. But we could, you know, later work on corn and rice and others, even think of working with grain that are the only kind of grain that geographically would grow in certain area because of, arid weather and conditions. So it is truly an incredible project and mission. And, stay tuned. There'll be some fun new thing coming up in the next few months, and I'm sure a great partnership in the few months and years to come.
That's excellent. That's fantastic. And you know, you mentioned Dr. Dr. Bhatia as well again, and I had the opportunity to meet her at the early stages of this ingenious idea that she had. And the thing that impressed me so much that is that you guys are continuing to do that is so smart is to as you further develop the ingredient, is that you're putting it into practice yourselves. And that is so incredible that she had the foresight and the vision to take something that is so ubiquitous in society, bread. That is a great way to get this out to lots and lots of people. And rather than the 5 to 10 year selling cycle that can exist sometimes in industry for new ingredients, just start working with it and put it out there. And it's been incredible. And it's really exciting to see what you are all doing with this. And as you expand and continue to make more new products, and you know, as I hear pizza and pasta mentioned many times, I mean, I think we're all looking forward to that very soon, right? So it's been a fantastic journey. I mean, it's a very fortunate that they were able to bring you on board as a founder for the company. And it's been my hope that that would go in that direction. And it's just been amazing to see and watch it develop and grow. And I really want to thank you for taking the time to tell us all about this. Is there anything about Equi that we haven't covered that you wanted to make sure we get out there and mention that to our listeners?
No, I think we did a pretty good job, and you know, it was simply brought up. I think that the only thing I would like to maybe add, it's and you mentioned it, it's that vision, that visionary leadership that Monica brought and that Dr. Gotra brings with grain, and that incredible expertise he has with grain, paired with their understanding that nothing will work unless it is truly you know, as the taste and texture that any chef would want to do using that kind of ingredient. I commend them on that. We have a full culinary lab here in Chicago with a super experienced team.
Fantastic.
For so many years, and it's you know, it's as important as our technology. And you know, I wish many other brands would consider that, not just hire chef as a spokesperson to endorse something, but truly have them boots on the ground cooking and baking and developing product in the way that it should be.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. It has been growing some, but it has still further to go in that area. And yeah, it would be great for them to make use of that more, right? This has been fantastic, Chef Canon. I really appreciate it. And I'd love to, in the new year, as things get a little bit less busy for a little while, I hope, that we could sit down and chat some more, maybe see where Equi is. And I also want to be able to share more with our listeners, with all the Bakerpedia fans, about the French Pastry School and your butter book, which has been a fantastic resource for people to be able to subscribe to. And so a little teaser there. Let's regroup again after the holidays and have a look at all of that stuff and bring people into the fold on those things as well.
Great. Thank you, Mark. Thank you for having us. And I wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving and happy holiday, and looking forward to connect soon and talk about education.
Thank Fantastic. You. Yeah, excellent. Thank you so much. I really sincerely appreciate this. This has been absolutely incredible.
The amazing world of creating a new product basically from scratch, and so much of the science learning that goes with that. This has been totally fascinating. Thank you for listening. My name is Mark Florca, and I hope to see you in the next one. This is Bakerpedia's Baked in Science.